John Norsterkenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketing! Border charcoal, that bastard! Beast!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
And of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny. Do not vomit me.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 126 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, March 6th, and this is not Aaron. This is Kenny.
Kenny, hey.
We don't know where Aaron's at. Well, actually, we kind of know where Aaron's at, somewhere in Europe.
He's abroad.
He's abroad.
No, really, he's abroad.
You get a two in the box tonight with myself and Mr. Jive Midnight over here to my left.
Yeah. Hey, good evening, folks.
How's it going, Jive?
Oh, it's going good. Hey, did you know, Kenny?
What's this, Jive?
Did you know that March is Podcast Awareness Month?
So you guys should all be aware of our podcast.
Yes. And make sure that you go out there and share it with everybody.
And spread that word.
Yeah, spread the word around. Do you have a favorite podcast that you like to listen to?
I've got a couple that I listen to on a regular rotation. I mean, it's nice to just load up my driving playlist and go.
Yep.
I would say 99 PI, 99% yes. Invisible, and I'm pretty sure you turned me on to that one.
That might have been the Angry Finn.
It could have been. It's a great one if you're into any type of design, industrial
Definitely.
Design or
architectural. Yeah.
It's not like geeked out that way though. It's for the
It gets deep into the story of like why things are designed the way they are.
But it's for the regular person.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you don't have to be completely into architecture to understand what's going on. I mean, they kind of go through why buildings are the way they are and right. how they got that. And it's not just buildings. It's
flags.
They actually had, right before the, new year, they had a couple episodes on their short stories that weren't long enough for episodes.
Yeah.
Which was quite interesting because it was, you know, half a dozen or so mini episodes in the one, like 30 minute episode.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that one's good. They also turned me on to another one that, because me with audio and sound, 20 Hertz is really good. And it goes, they talk about different sounds and. You know, where different sounds come from. I, you know, it's kind of crazy.
Yep.
Everything from like the NBC chimes to sounds your car makes.
Yeah. I remember, and I think it might have actually been 99% Invisible, talked about one time, like the how they make the sounds or, you know, how they pick up sounds at games, like football games, hockey games, you know, the sporting events. Because when you think about it, like when you watch hockey on TV and, you know, you're hearing the puck, you know, slapping against the stick and the players crunching against the boards. I mean, it does. It adds to what you're watching there, you know.
It makes it really great when the game's like on NBC Sports and you pull out that middle channel of your 5.1. So it almost feels like you're in the game at the game at that point.
Yeah. A favorite podcast, I guess I would like to mention that actually helps me to feel a little bit more normal, as normal as I can be.
Wow.
There's this awesome podcast called The Sword and Scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's Monsters Among Us. I'll just let you people know that. Sword and Scale is not for the faint of heart. Sometimes it can wrench you. Don't listen to it in a space where, you know, you might want to see people or have people not have people see how you react to.
Are these real stories
things.
Or are these like,
are
fictional?
No, these are all real stories about real monsters among us, people who do some very, very horrible things, but it makes me feel like a better person because I don't do that kind of stuff.
It's actually kind of funny that you bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be listening to a local radio station today.
Oh, yeah?
And they were talking about a mail carrier. Actually, we'll just say it. It was a mailman. Like, it was actually a mailman.
My wife was telling me about this one.
I believe it was northern Minnesota.
Yes, it was.
who happened to do... Well, let's just say that the mail carrier, mailman in this case, became very good friends with a sworn enemy of letter carriers.
Right.
The dog.
All by slipping him the package.
He slipped him the package, all right. You know, the homeowner was wondering why his door was, you know, why there was such a long time from when the mailman got there and when he left.
Right.
And pulled up some security camera footage.
Yeah.
Of watching this guy do not pretty things to little Fluffy.
Oh, don't call the dog Fluffy. That was my dog's name when I was little, man.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, man. Totally ruined it for me.
All right. Maybe we should get on to hockey.
Probably. But so, yeah, it is Podcast Awareness Month, though. So be sure to go out there and share your favorite podcast. Use hashtag tripod, TRY pod, to let others know about your favorites. You know, share those with friends. So, well, let's get into the wild week, huh?
So, the past few days, the Wild ended up going 2-1.
Yeah.
And all. So, you know, it's, hey, we got more than we lost.
Right.
We won more than we lost. You can't really complain about that. So it was a 6-5 win against the Jets. You know, a late goal by Zucker. You know, they lifted the Minnesota Wild to a win against Winnipeg. A 1-0, very brutal, very disheartening loss to Columbus.
Yeah, it was a tight game, though. I mean,
the goal that trickled in.
Yeah.
Beyond Dubnyk is just it's sad, and it sucks that was the lone goal of the game. But and sod,
yes,
sad with an extra A,
yes, very sad.
It. You know, and it was very fluky. And then we had the Sharks on Sunday yesterday, with a 3-1 win. Stahl scored twice. Jive, I keep looking at our notes and I keep seeing Minnesota mumps. we jump back ahead of Chicago.
Yes.
And actually, one of the goals was by the Minnesota mumps.
One of the Minnesota mumps. Current
Minnesota mumps,
right.
Of Parisi.
Parisi.
Pommeville to Parisi.
Yeah. So it came from both of our mumps, really.
It did. So it's a Minnesota mumps goal.
A mump to mump.
Mumps to mump.
Mumpsford and Sons. I think I heard that, I'm pretty sure that was Parisi. I heard his favorite band was Mumford & Sons. So,
Mump?
So we'll call him Mumford & Sons.
Oh, crap. So, let's go to the Blue Jackets game first. So pretty sure we're going to see a lot of low scoring, tight games, very, very close in score for the rest of the season. I think Parise even alluded to it after the Sharks game that, you know, it's basically playoff hockey now.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see teams playing a lot more tight and not so much run and gun. Mm-hmm. How well will the Wild, do you think, Jive, will hold up to this type of play? Is it something that they're going to be able to keep up with, or is it going to wear them down?
Really, I think that the Wild are probably set up pretty well for it because... I mean, defensively, when you look at the Wild, they perform very well defensively in their defensive zone. Specifically, like when you look at like their penalty kill and stuff, the way that, you know, they pinch down and cut off the lanes. I think that the Wild, their style of play, they can play very well defensively. So I think that, with that said, they should be set up pretty well for this type of playoff hockey. But the beautiful thing is like what we've seen this year is that, while we're playing that defensive style, we also have the ability to, you know, break out and make some offensive plays happen this year.
We do have some skaters that have the speed that are very capable of doing that.
Yeah.
Zucker included, who I think his hands, I don't think they quite caught up to his feet yet.
Not quite.
But I think they're, you know, maybe two-thirds of the way there, where, you know, one out of every three times, I think he's good to go.
Yeah, and you're looking at, like, Zucker, Holla last night. Holla, I'm pretty sure that was, I think that was Holla at the he blocked a shot at the blue line. It popped out. You know, he won the foot race. It didn't turn into a goal, but, I mean, those types of opportunities, I mean, when you're talking about those, you know, most of the time you've got a lot better odds of scoring when something like that is happening. So
I don't think we've seen this type of jump from a wild line like that we can count on since the Gaborik days when they got rid of the two-line pass.
Yeah.
I mean, when that originally happened, I mean, we saw Gaborik getting ready for a couple of those goals early on, and he had that jump.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when we saw some of his magic hands. I believe that was the season he also got the five-goal game.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be able to see that we do have some of those players that can do that, especially, like, with teams playing defensively right now and trying to keep it tight, that we can still have those breakout opportunities.
Most definitely.
So, I mean, the only thing that kind of worries me with tightening down, I think our forwards are doing pretty well getting back, especially in that type of situation where you want them to play kind of tight, but also still have their chances and still be a forward.
We've always got our safety, you know, forward. We've got two guys that are, you know, forechecking in hard down on the deep boards. But we've always got that guy floating high that's, you know, ready to back check it at any moment. So, you know, we do see some odd man rushes, but very, very infrequently at this point.
Right? My worry is the opposite side of that, where we're in the O zone and our defense, you get something like that third pairing defense that are still kind of lackadaisical. Where they're not quite there, and they're going to get beat by a team with some speedy skaters because they're not playing their position quite right.
Yeah,
Prosser comes to mind quite heavily.
Yeah, I would actually probably lean more towards even like Riley when he's up here and playing.
Dumba's done it too.
Dumba, he does. He's made some mistakes. I can
boneheaded.
Agree. I wouldn't say boneheaded. I would call them more young mistakes. Speaking about Dumba, it was in the game last night that I heard them talking about it. And this actually might have been from the radio cast, I think. But talking about like the Sharks, they've got Brent Burns, right?
Yeah. We used to have Brent Burns,
right. Well, and they were talking about that. And one of the things, you know, when Brent Burns was here, you know, he went, you know, they switched him around from forward to defense. And, you know, I mean, he goes into that and he was all over the place, basically, when he was here. But you grow up, you learn the game of hockey more. As good as you think you are when you come in as a young guy, you soon find out that you still have a lot to learn. And, you know, they compared, actually, Burns to how Dumba plays, you know.
Sure.
And Dumba, you can find him. He'll be out around. He might be in, you know, too deep in a zone. But a lot of the times, I think that Dumba is getting better in his positioning as a defensiveman. I do still have times where I say Dumba, you know, there are those times, but when you look at the whole, I think that there is a definite upside to Dumba's play because he produces points, especially when he's forcing the play and moving up like that.
I could totally see that. I think Dumba is definitely a young Burns.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw Burns make some of those same mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and hopefully he can get through that. But, you know, hopefully we also don't get rid of him like we got rid of Burns and all of a sudden he breaks out.
That's true.
So, live chat looking, our third happens to be chiming in from Latvia right now.
Latvia.
Apparently 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And so if he has any questions to throw in here, you know, it's going to be on like a 15-second delay. Maybe 30 for where he's at by the time it goes halfway around the world.
I wonder how long it does take to get over there.
So.
Hey, start your timer now. Hello. is there an echo?
Let's get into the Sharks game, though.
Yeah.
Parisi happened to be playing the right wing that game, which is odd for him.
Yeah.
And Boudreau had a great quote on what that Russo had wrote about. You know, he said, well, Stewie's not been bad on the left side. And I thought, quite frankly, that Eric Staal looks to his right more than he looks to his left sometimes. So if Zach's on the right side and if Zach crosses the blue line, he gets to open up. He gets to see the play. I don't know. These are stupid things I think at home. I'll probably change my mind in a week. Who knows? But it worked. I thought that play worked well.
We got to love Boudreau.
So now Boudreau's not only switching lines, but positions with Parisi. You know, obviously it worked for a goal. You know, he and Stewie did have some mislocations because of this, where they happened to, you know, kind of almost run into each other, including, well, I mean, this is in front of the net, but including Stewie Whitewash and Parisi. but, you know, Parisi's a pro. Do we see him being utilized as a right or left wing potentially in the future?
I think, yeah. I mean, really, a position is, you know, it's a classification of where you start out to play at, really. Yeah, you got to hold to your zones. There's not a lot of difference between a right winger and a left winger. The only difference is which side of the ice you're hanging out on.
Well, and
really,
if you're used to hanging on the one side of the ice for 20, 30 years.
That's true. But, you know, for Parisi, it might open him up for you know, a better shot at the net. I know a lot of his goals come from down deep, where he's, you know, getting into the dirty area in front of the net, poking pucks in. But, you know, now maybe it opens him up a little bit, you know, open up that, you know, one-timer shot to him if his, you know, shot is, you know, to the inside of the rink there.
Get another mump-to-mump.
Another mump-to-mump. You never,
a Mumford?
Mumford and Sons. Yes.
Mumford and Sons pass.
Yeah. So you never know. I mean, really, I think that the Parisi, yes, maybe he's played that left wing position his entire career, but I don't think that it matters really where you put him. At this point, you probably could ask him to, you know, to have a draw at this point, and he'd probably play the center position just fine as well.
Well, he might not catch it.
He might not win the draw, but, you know.
Aaron was just chiming in saying how he loved Parisi, saying that, you know, he and Staal. Yeah. Anyways. So with that, though, the Wild still have not had two regulation losses in a row since the beginning of November. That's damn near the beginning of the season. I think we had, what, 2 weeks in October?
Yeah, a couple.
And that might, we may have only had one or two in a row,
yeah,
regulation losses.
Yep.
Yeah, I love this team. I cannot be.
It's great. It is an exciting season. But all that said, I mean, we've still got Chicago hot on our trail.
They are.
It's not like we've got a lot of room to breathe or anything.
We've been
for all that hard
Chicago's
work.
Chicago's not laying off. I mean, they've been winning. They actually did jump ahead of us briefly,
yep,
but we still had a few games in hand.
Yeah, I think Chicago is 9-1 in their last 10 games. So
yeah,
it's
absolutely, yep, insane.
Yeah.
So, I think with that, let's.
Is that about it for this week?
Yeah, let's get into our wild card discussion.
Sounds good.
So, Greg Wisniewski of Puck Daddy called our GM Chuck Fletcher a supervillain. Basically, you know, saying that with the trade deadline, his article had said some stuff, had some great quotes in it, and I'll say some of these quotes right now. Capitals GM Brian McCallum said that the Hanzel trade set the market for the Shattenkirk deal and for any subsequent trades. While, you know, and this is not from McClellan, but this is just in the article. Wild gave up more for Hanzel than the New York Rangers did for Eric Staal last season. This is a quote now from the Coyotes GM, John Chaka. Minnesota clearly stepped up. I can assure you this was top price paid in the market for Martin Hanzel. And then in the article, it also says that Fletcher said one of his motivations in the Hanzel trade was to keep him away from rivals in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
You know, all very good things, and this did all happen before the trade deadline. So, I mean, he did kind of kick off and set the bar for...
He put things, what
forwards are going to be worth.
Yeah, he put somebody things in motion. Nobody was budging before that, you know?
John, I would say this is very similar to, because we do an auction draft with our fantasy. Goalies either go for a ton of money or next to nothing. And as soon as somebody pays a lot for those guys, it sets that bar.
Yeah.
And Fletcher just did this at the trade deadline. So
he's playing fantasy hockey is what you're telling
me. Well, he's playing real hockey.
Oh, real hockey.
Real hockey.
With real money.
Real money. Real people. Yep. Real stuff at stake.
IRL.
So, now this is a direct quote and question from Wisniewski's Puck Daddy article. What if Fletcher overpaid for Hanzel 3 days before the trade deadline to set the bar for the rest of the NHL and in turn made it difficult for other rivals to get what they needed because the prices remained Hanzel high?
Hansley high.
No. Hanzel.
Hanzel high. I definitely think that if that was his intentions, that is kind of brilliant.
I think he kind of got, well, minus a Shattenkirk deal, which was, I would not have seen that coming, but I think that helped us with the Blues. Cause I mean,
that's better on our part. I mean, we aren't going to see
until we get to the Cup.
Yeah. We wouldn't see the Capitals until we got to the Cup. So,
but I mean, yeah, I think it is brilliant. I mean, he did set that bar high. He took some of the best available forwards away.
Mm-hmm.
We saw them produce the first game that they played.
Yeah. They were, there was instant input after that. And I do think that definitely when they came in here, I mean, it set a precedent too to the Wild team saying, we're serious. Let's get this done, boys.
He was swinging. He said that he was swinging for the he wasn't going to just take it. He was going for it.
Yeah. So, and with that and setting the bar, making sure that, you know, the price is high for anybody who's going anywhere, you know, that's going to limit other teams to, you know.
Well, you know. And I mean, I know we talked about this a little bit last week, but was it sheer brilliance that he did not give up any prospects and just gave up draft picks? Granted, there are some pretty high draft picks in there.
There are, but draft picks are a big gamble, if not more of a gamble than a prospect is. A prospect, you at least have...
You're seeing what they're doing.
Yeah, you've started to see what they're doing. A draft pick, there's no, you have no idea.
Well, look at Edmonton.
Well, but that's the other thing, you know, you never know. I hate to bring it to other sports, but you take a look at later round draft picks. Let's look back. I hate to bring them up, but let's look at the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. I believe Brady was 7th round, something like that. He was a late round. 14th pick in the 7th round, something like that. And, I mean, this guy's went on to win I don't know how many Super Bowls. It's too many for me to count, obviously. But, you know, later round draft picks. And I actually saw something last night on the at the Wild game. You know, they were going through all these point leaders for the 2003 draft class.
Yeah.
And who was it from the Sharks? Thornton? No. I can't remember his name at this point.
Pavelski?
Pavelski. There we go. Thank you. You know, he was a very, you know, a later round pick, but he's right up there with all the rest of them.
Well, and I mean, that's not the only time that we see this type of stuff. I mean, yeah. How many times have the Wild gotten first round draft picks go through their lineup after they've been used up?
Yeah.
You know,
so what's a draft pick? I mean, that's the thing. You know, sometimes that number one draft pick works out amazingly. You become a McJesus. Sometimes
or a Johnny Hockey, but even he's got his down days. Yeah,
but sometimes, you know, they just don't work out. So I don't think that there's anything wrong with giving up those picks.
All right. Well, you know, I think that's what we got for that. So, Jeff, what do we got coming up?
All right. What do we got coming up? Well, what don't we have?
I suppose we should
up?
Preface this that we're not only do you only get two of us this week, but you get zero of us next week.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We're all kind of in different.
Yeah.
Well. Some in different continents, some in different states,
different parts of the world.
Yeah, we're going to be well traveled next weekend.
Yes.
So we got a lot coming up to talk about.
The Wild. The Wild, they've got coming up here 19 games in 33 days. So over the next, you know, month plus a couple days, we've got 19 games coming up. Lots of back to backs in there. And that said, I mean, just last night, Folan, goes hard into the boards and suffered an injury. By the looks of it, I thought he probably broke his wrist or his arm or something.
It did not look good.
Yeah, definitely was a, and I know there was a penalty called on the play, but I don't even know if I would necessarily call it a penalty or just incidental contact. Both players were going hard to the end boards. One player's skate hit the back of another player's skate, sends a player to his knee. Whether or not that was, you know, intentional, I don't know. If it was intentional, he probably feels pretty crappy, hopefully, but...
We don't need another Curtis Foster incident happening.
No, we definitely don't. Luckily, I think that it was just his arm that that broke his broke his run into the end boards there. It wasn't his leg, so he wasn't breaking femurs or anything like that. But that said, I mean, if it's a broken arm, I know that they said probably at least 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it's a broken arm, you're probably.
He had an MRI, I think, yesterday or today.
Yeah. You're probably looking at more like 6 weeks for a broken arm, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, and we did actually see earlier in the week that when we have to play without somebody like Suter back there on our blue line, you know, the Wild, I mean, we took a lot of shots when he wasn't around. Can the Wild afford to lose any of the depth that they do have on defense?
You know, this goes into a question that Frost asks us, Minnesota MN Frosty Boy. He brought up to us with the Mike Weber signing.
Yeah.
Of you know, is this something that we picked up, you know, as just depth playoff? And yeah, I'm thinking, you know, it is. Signing him to two-way contract now with Mike Weber, that does afford us some extra depth, especially if it comes to playoff time where we can call him up. I saw somebody today had just signed the player, but because the player got signed after the trade deadline, they're no longer eligible. they can play the season. Ottawa signed him. He can play this season, but he's not eligible for playoff play. So, yes, you know, jumping ahead a little bit to Chris Frost's question, you know, yeah, I think picking up a guy like Weber definitely kind of gives us that insurance where we have some other players. Because, you know, we got Olofsson, we've got Riley, we've got Prosser. But you start losing one or two D, and now you've got to have some extra guys that have A, experience, and B, you know, just that skill set to keep to give you that momentum.
So then, I mean, at the trade deadline, should we maybe have been, you know, looking for something to bulk up our blue line a little bit?
I don't, you know, you've got a set budget. You can't go above it. So do you bump up your offense a little bit with some defensive players, or do you do the Lemaire thing and go full on trap style? And I think Fletcher did it right, getting some good forwards that can score. We've obviously seen them put points on the board since they've joined the Wild.
Right.
So I think he did it the right way. And then I think, you know, at least getting Weber on that two way contract will give us enough, hopefully, you know, to get some, at least some veteran cup finalists.
Yeah.
You know, playoff veterans in there that kind of know how to hold their
together. That's the thing, is especially as you move to the playoff hockey, you know, as great as, you know, somebody like a Riley or a Olofsson might be, they just haven't been there, and it's a whole nother beast, even from the NHL regular season, when you get to that playoff hockey, and you know, I guess that's the part that actually would start to worry me, but hopefully everything works out in the Wild's benefit.
I hope so.
Yeah. So then let's kind of take a look at, you know, what we've got coming up. You mentioned that we won't be podcasting next week.
That is correct.
Unfortunately, we'll all be in different locations.
far away from our studio. We can't all remote in and turn the stuff on at the same time.
Yep. So we've got, but upcoming over that time, though, we've got lots of competition. Basically, we got 8 games coming up within 12 days here. We've got the Blues. We've got the Lightning, the Panthers. Then we got the Blackhawks, the Capitals, the Hurricanes, the Rangers, and the Jets. Now, if you take a look at all those teams,
that's a tough schedule.
That is a tough schedule. Not one of those teams is currently below 500.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 out of 8 of those are on the road.
6 out of 8 of them on the road. Nobody is playing below 500. That means they're winning more than they're losing, case you didn't know.
We have the current team that is ahead of the Wild in points, and right before that, the team that is fighting for the Wild for the lead of the West. So,
and then right after that, the best team in the league
exactly.
Right now.
Yeah, the one team that we're fighting.
Yeah. So we got all that. What do the Wild have to do? They've got kind of an extended road trip there. What do they have to do to make sure that this is successful? To make sure we keep intact that, you know, no 2 regulation overtime losses after.
Well, the big thing is we're going to have to put a lot of trust in Kemper.
Yeah.
Kemper, we're going to be seeing, I think, a lot of ice time. In that time span before we get back, we have, well, surprisingly, only 2 back-to-back games.
Yeah.
2 of them are in Florida, and then 2 of them are, Rangers here and then in Winnipeg, so that's not too much
travel, yeah.
But I think we're going to be seeing a lot of Kemper.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to be seeing a lot of very defensive play. like we had talked about earlier.
Some more games
show,
like the last couple games.
I think so. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of Lemaire being channeled.
Lemaire's coming back?
I think we're going to see a lot of Lemaire style being channeled and then the for the rest of the season, to be quite honest.
Yep.
I think, you know, it's going to be a get the first goal and try to hold on to it. And then, you know, maybe try to add a couple more onto it.
Score when you can, but make sure we keep them out of our net.
That 5-6 or 6-5 Winnipeg game that we saw last week, I think that's the last time we're going to really see a game like that, unless both goalies are just letting in everything. But with the schedule that we have coming up, I don't foresee that happening. I think it's going to be a lot of very tight, very low-scoring games.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, really, this is going to be a very tough go at it for the Wild here. It's going to definitely be a true test. So when we next convene, I think that we'll have a really, really good idea, actually, about, you know, who this Wild team really is. I mean, I think that they've more than proven to us throughout the season that they're a fairly consistent team that can go out there and play night in and night out.
Hey, if they keep up the no two regulation losses in a row, we're sitting good.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it, a lot of times they might have a down period here. They might start out the game a little weak, but come on stronger at the end. You're looking at things like that, and really the Wild have been, you know, besides those like few periods in there where they might have been weak and that might have, you know, been enough to cause them to lose a game. But really, they've been a fairly consistent team. So hopefully that consistency continues on over this tough stretch here. What I was saying is when we reconvene, we will know what type of team the Minnesota Wild are this year. You know, I'm thinking to myself that if we come out of this, you know, like 600, 650, 700, I think if, you know, we win like, you know, seven games, lose five, something like that, I think that I would consider that a win through this stretch.
It definitely.
And I would be very confident in our playoff chances at that point.
This actually brings something else up to mind. I think it was Ryan Stanzel had tweeted, and I want to say it was during a Pittsburgh game, so I'm not exactly sure who they were playing, but basically tweeted that the way it's looking right now, the top four teams in the NHL are going to be playing each other in the second round of the playoffs because of how the playoff format is situated, which really kind of sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, but we're actually going to be seeing two out of those teams, with the Wild being, you know, one of the four.
Right.
This stretch, you know, so we got to, you know, obviously put our best foot forward and deal with it. But, yeah, I mean, it does suck that basically your top four teams now are sitting in two different divisions, and because of how the playoffs are situated, second round comes, and they're going to be playing each other. So, really, I mean, yes, we want to see Wild be on the top of the West.
Yeah.
But I think no matter if they're number one or number two, I think we're still going to be seeing Chicago second round.
Which, you know, Chicago's playing great this year. I know that they've been able to beat us this year. We haven't had the success like we had last year.
Nope.
But I still feel 100% more confident in our games against the Blackhawks this year.
Oh, yeah.
More so than I did last year, even though we managed to win all the games against them during the regular season last year.
We've been playing better. But, I think Quinneville's even has alluded to how tougher this team is to play against.
He's given some respect.
So,
All right, should we get into Twitter talk?
Let's do some Twitter talk.
All right. So our first Twitter Talk question comes in from Secret Agent Halsey at Finnesotan 12. Three in the box. Thoughts on the Wild walking on Duke only for him to be picked up by Vegas?
I think there's supposed to be a comma in there. So basically, thoughts on Wild walking on Duke, Vegas picking him up. You know what? Good for Vegas. Wild obviously had the opportunity, but you know what? Vegas, it still sucks to put Vegas and hockey in the same terms without, hey, can you place a bet for me?
But expansion team, I mean, an expansion team's going to get some stuff regardless from, you know, around. So I don't know that it's, I'm not considering it a big loss at this point.
I would actually say, put it up there as a moment of pride that their first pick was somebody that the Wild had picked up.
There we go.
So,
all right.
Next question from Teresa Ferries at MNSoda24. Three in the box. Should we be concerned that the Wild lost a depth player with Columbus picking up Dalpy in the waivers? We missed this question last week, but obviously Boudreau was worried about it. And yeah, I think we should be. I mean, luckily at that same time we happened to pick up two solid forwards and
exactly potential centers. And we had picked those up before they were able to snag up Dalpy there. And really I think that the Wild have their bases covered there as far as forwards go. I know it was also mentioned last week, Ryan Carter's, I don't know that he's in game shape or anything like that, but we've got, veteran presence there.
We do.
With somebody like Ryan Carter that'll be able to come back and play with us. I don't think that the Dalpy will hurt us now. Maybe going into the future if he's got, so much potential, but I don't know. I guess I don't see Dalpy, though, as necessarily a top-line guy anywhere in the near future.
So, all right.
And the next question comes in from Chris Frost, Minnesota Frosty Boy. Three in the box or crease and assist. Your thoughts on Mike Weber, the two-way signing, the anti-prosser. Is he up for the playoffs or not?
I think we kind of discussed that. I mean, I think it's a backup plan for the Wild to have or a depth plan, not just a backup, just in case.
Yep.
So,
all right.
Next question from Mr. Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. Or depending on how you look at the shortened version of the URL, sometimes it says Crease and Ass.
Well, there is a crease in the ass.
There is. Which I told him I'd preface that with a, hey, Beavis, it says crease in the ass.
What has he got for us?
What does he have for us? He has, on Hockey Night in Canada, they proposed On Hockey Night in Canada, they proposed of making it a penalty to drop to the ice to block shots. Are you in favor of this? I'll let you answer this one first, Jive.
To drop to the ice and block shots. Well, I am not in favor of making it a penalty. Number one, if you are going down to the ice or standing in front of somebody who is about to blast, 80, 90, 100, if you're looking at a Chara, 108-mile-an-hour slap shot, if you're willing to stand in front of that or drop in front of that, put your face in front of that, put anything else of you in front of that, more power to you. And, word up to you for taking one for the team.
Yeah, I am totally against them banning that and making it a penalty.
Yeah.
If that does happen, you're going to see more of the Philip Flopsberg school of Swedish diving. And instead of being tripped, you're going to, I fell and I blocked his shot as it was coming through.
Right.
Which, that might be taking it a bit too far. But no, blocking shots is part of hockey. Where are they going to draw the line? Is dropping to a knee, is that going down to block a shot? Or is it
both going
skates,
to both knees?
You know, skates off
a
the
knee,
ice?
A knee and an ankle.
Where do you draw the line? Right. I mean, we're kind of that. This kind of ties in, at least in my brain, which my brain doesn't work like most people's brains. But the whole reviewing the icing, or the offsides call, where, you know, plays are getting so close that, you know, the game that Aaron and I were at, they spent 15 minutes, you know, that Chicago game, where everybody was giving the refs, the officials crap about it, going,
trying to decide if it was on or offsides.
And they put cameras in to specifically deal with this, and they still, you know, made us wait around almost an entire period break.
Well, that's true, but it comes, you know, beyond, you know, the refs at this point, too. I mean, when anytime that you're introducing the instant replay or you know, all these different camera angles into the game, you know, a ref is a human just like the rest of us. And if you, I mean, it's easy for us to make a call when a play is in slow motion,
sure,
and moving, but you know, you're moving by us at 3 frames per second. But you got to think of the real life speed of the game and how quickly that stuff happens. The refs are actually really, really, really good at what they do.
You know what? And that's a linesman.
Yeah.
I mean, but officials, I mean, the refs.
Right.
And you know what, Jive? Okay, I kind of cut you off on that one.
Well, I'm just saying they're really good at what they do, but you bring this stuff in, and I mean you're bringing in a whole another aspect of perfection in the play calling. I mean, I remember back to my days of playing on NHL 94 on the Sega Genesis or whatever, and I'm playing on there, and I get called on an offsides, and I'll go back and I'll watch that replay. Oh. I'll watch that replay. There's no way that was offsides. No,
they built in. I'm pretty sure that they built in that
like a
programming, like
a little bit of right, just to keep you mad, just so you break your TV and have to go buy another one.
See, this is one of the things that I like about hockey. It's a very fast moving sport.
Yes,
and you know what. The linesmen, for what they do, I mean, the call, there's some, and it's very, very few and far between, some very obvious, like, blown calls or non-calls.
Right.
But I would say most of the time, they're pretty spot on with what they're seeing, with when that puck is crossing the line and what else is going on.
Yep.
And, you know, hockey, without all the replays, it's a fast-moving game. Mm-hmm. It's you don't have much downtime. You got, unless you're on NBC Sports, and then you got like 15 commercial breaks to
right.
normal broadcast three or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like, you know, basketball slow moving. You get in all the timeouts, and it's like, come on, man. Football, it's like you got a 10-second play, and you've got 3 minutes of downtime.
Right.
Baseball, holy cow.
There's a pitch, and then there's some downtime.
But for some reason, I think I like baseball because it's the anti of hockey. It's like relaxing the go. You just sit there and you drink beer for like 4 hours and
And then at the
get
end of
sunburned.
At the end of 4 hours, when it's, you know, it's either a blowout or it's a nail biter. So then you can pay attention.
Yeah.
Or not pay attention and leave and go home.
Exactly.
Right.
So I mean, but you know, you start getting into all these replays with hockey, and it's going to slow down the entire game. It's going to slow down the pace, and I'm going to like it. But that has absolutely nothing to do with this question about blocking shots.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It kind of got there on an off way around.
But anyways.
But yes. No, it shouldn't be a penalty.
No, it should
I
not.
I think we both decided that. Our next question comes in from Secret Agent Halsey again at Finisotan 12. Three in the box. Are Parisi and Staal back on track to their old forms?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know. I kind of look at it like as a wave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got your peaks, you got your valleys.
Yeah.
And, you know, some players peaks and valleys are tighter and shorter than others.
They've got a heartbeat.
And you know what? I think Parise has been bounced around quite a bit with who he's been playing with, and I think he's done solid for the most part all year long.
Stoll's, when he's been there. I mean, he's had a tough year this year. I mean,
the mumps and injuries.
And yeah.
And Stoll in general, I mean, yeah, I think Stoll will get back on track. I don't know if they're back on track now, but I think they're on the upswing. I don't think they're on the downswing or in the valley anymore.
And I definitely don't think that they're like, in their prime or anything, or heading for like a season, that will wash out all the rest of their seasons or anything like that. But I definitely think that their presence on the team goes beyond just, putting points on the board. These guys are veterans. They've been here before. They've done things. And they're going to be here. They're going to mentor these, younger guys who, still have some of
that. Absolutely.
They have some of that pep in their step. You mesh that stuff together, and that's where you get that great chemistry and everybody pushing forward towards a common goal. And next thing you know,
Wild.
I'm not going to foresee anything here, but
hopefully.
Yeah.
Wild, king of captains. Like, we've got.
Yes.
We don't have a captain and two alternates. We've got like three lines of captains or two.
They're all captains.
They're all captains.
Everybody's captain. Right.
All right. From Derek Felska. From Derek Felska. With Christian Follin out for 3 weeks with an injury, who would you give his spot to? Olofsson, Riley, Weber, or Prosser? Right now, I would like to see what Weber does.
Yeah, and I guess I couldn't disagree with you on that. It would be nice to see, how his chemistry works with the team. Riley, I'm not sure that he is completely ready for what's coming here with the playoff style of hockey that's going to be going on towards the end of the season here. You might find him out of position more often than you'd like to, especially at this point in the season. Olofsson, though, I would be very actually comfortable with.
I'm gonna agree with you on that one.
Yeah, he's not the type of defenseman that he'll push a little, but he still minds his spot.
Okay, Jive. Let's say we're going to the playoffs tomorrow. Without seeing Weber, so we don't know exactly how he's going to fit with this. Olofsson, Riley, or Prosser, who's your pick?
I'm going to take Olofsson.
I think I'm going to do the same. I mean, I think Prosser's... We've seen too many boneheaded mistakes from Prosser.
We know what we've got with him.
I think Riley's making too many young mistakes. Olofsson, I would say, is probably the most level-headed could still be molded.
Well, and that's the thing, is Olofsson, I don't think that he's necessarily shining, but he is also not being a glaring sore to the team, causing pain by letting goals come by the way. So, all right. Next question comes in from Derek Felska. Mike Yo's son, Kyler's team, Hill Murray, they play on Thursday. The Blues don't have a game that day. Do you think Coach Yo will be there? That's the start of the boys' hockey tournament.
It is, and the Blues are up here on Tuesday, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's going to be a tough one.
He will be there.
I think if they don't play, I think we could possibly see him up here for it.
Well, if they've got I think that's what Falsco is alluding to, is that they've got an off day.
He's a hockey dad.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not gonna miss, especially because it's not like the Minnesota Boys State High School hockey tournament is not anything small by any stretch of the means. It's big.
Well, and you got to think about that for Yo at this point as well. Obviously, he hasn't wanted to uproot his family and yank them around.
No.
And, I mean, he knows. I mean, especially, you know, when you got a son who's into hockey. I mean, this is a great, great state to be in for hockey.
Well, you know, playing for Hill Murray is not exactly bad either.
Definitely not. But people said playing for Edina was good, too.
Well,
but
until they played Wayzata.
Where are they?
yep. Eating cake.
Right.
All right. Last question from Chris Frost at MN Frosty Boy. Three in the box. Top three Minnesota Wild hair, excluding Ryan White.
Why do we got to exclude him?
Well, he's new and he obviously wins.
Well, I got to say, I actually like Coyle's new.
Yeah?
Like, just like the buzz, straight buzz.
I'm going with Granny. Granny's always kind of had that yeah. The shaggy look
he's
going
got
on.
A little bit of a shag there. Scandella for, like, if you're looking for a pop guy. Like that, I mean, he's got, what is that? Who is that guy? Macklemore or something?
Oh,
like
he's
that?
He's got like the hipster got that swoop. Straight,
yeah.
So, all right.
There we go.
So, I think we're just about out of time here.
Yeah, I think that's probably about it. Kenny, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at NostraKenius. And, yeah, that's just about it. Jive, what about you?
Yeah, you can find me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Welcome and, to, you know, Two in the Box.
Hanging out with the two of us in the box.
Jive, we made it almost an hour with just me and you ranting back and forth. How? We don't need Aaron.
We blabber too much is what we're really
No,
do.
We do need Aaron. Like, no, we do Aaron, need Aaron. That was yeah. not, yeah.
Safe travels back, Aaron, my brother. And
yeah, have fun in Europe. I think he went to bed because it's like 5 a.m. over there. So he said he was still drunk. I mean, you know, drink some, you know, 8% Latvia beers.
Right. At least he does. Hopefully, keeps it safe over there.
So we will be back in 2 weeks. Keep following us on Twitter. We'll try to keep up with some stuff. I know life is pretty hectic for all of us right now, but by all means, bug us. Bug us on our personal Twitter accounts, too. We do reply.
Maybe.
Generally speaking.
Speak for yourself.
So. All right, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks.
Shit, do I got to do holla? Holla!